To invite you to take your Bible, please, and turn to the Psalms this morning. Psalm 116. This should be a well-known psalm to us all. It's from this very chapter that the first gospel preacher on Australian soil preached the word of God from Psalm 116. So this should be a valued psalm for us all as the people of God within this great nation of ours. His text was from verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What an optimistic attitude this preacher had as he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ in our land back in 1788 on the 3rd of February, first Christian service on Australian soil. Psalm 116, I'd like for us to look at verse 7 as our main text this morning, and we'll be studying the chapter during the course of the day. Note there in Psalm 116, verse number 7, please. It reads, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." Let's bow for prayer. O God, I pray that you would truly find us faithful. We thank you for the privilege of worship this morning. We ask now that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, and that you would be our teacher, our guide, our instructor. I pray that you'd meet each one at that point of spiritual need. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The title of my sermon this morning is Return Unto Thy Rest, O My Soul. This psalm is a call to return, a return to our rest as Bible-believing Christians. I read this chapter a couple of weeks ago. I have a habit of reading a couple of the psalms each day, and as I read verse 7, God challenged my heart, and I've been meditating upon it. So now you have it in a sermon form. And the challenge is for you and I to return. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. From time to time, we need to speak to ourselves the word of God. See, if you were to note the average person walking down the street talking to themselves, you'd probably think to yourself, well, that person might have some issues. But may I submit to you this morning, it is biblical for you and I to speak to ourselves the Word of God. You know, at times we need somebody to say what needs to be said. And I'm so thankful that over the years I've had people that have lovingly have approached me and have said what's needed to be said to me. But I think there are times that you and I as God's people, and as you study the Psalms, you'll often find that the psalmist speaks to himself the Word of God. And this is exactly what happens here in verse number 7. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. The psalmist, we don't know the author of this particular psalm, but the author of this psalm, in speaking to himself the word of God, said, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul." This psalm is a call to return to our rest as Bible-believing Christians. There are times in our lives, due to our circumstances, that we no longer enjoy this spiritual rest that is set apart for the child of God. And also our Lord Jesus promised this rest for his people. Note there quickly in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28 to 30. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, it reads, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus promised rest for his people. "I will give you rest," he said. "Ye shall find rest unto your souls." There is a rest for the people of God. And if you go to Psalm 116, verse 7, the psalmist cried out, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul." Rest, rest. Return unto thy rest. The psalmist is speaking to himself. "O my soul, return unto thy rest." What does he mean by rest? Return to thy former tranquility. Return unto thy calmness. Thy former freedom from fear, anxiety. The psalmist has no doubt passed through a season of great danger. His soul has been agitated. It's been terrified. Now the danger's over and he calls upon his soul to resume that form of tranquility, that calmness, that peace, that freedom from alarm. As one author said, the word does not refer to God considered as the rest of the soul, but to what the mind of the psalmist has been and might now be again. "Return unto thy rest, O my soul." Note the wording there, "return unto thy rest, O my soul." So the psalmist is talking to himself and he's saying, "My soul, return. Return unto thy rest." In order to return, we must possess that rest. You can't return to something that you don't have. "Return unto thy rest, O my soul." So in order to return, we must possess that rest. So to return to this rest in our souls, in our mind, in our wills, and in our emotions, we must possess this rest from God positionally, and then we can return unto that rest practically. It might become a reality once again within our lives. This psalm is a call for you and I to return unto our rest as Bible-believing Christians. And there are times that you and I need to speak ourselves back into reality, that is spiritual reality, and call for a return to that rest within our souls. Because though we possess it positionally, at times practically, it's not a reality. So how do we enter into this rest that we might return unto our rest? Well, that's the place to begin. We need to make sure that we possess that rest that the Bible makes reference to. So please turn with me to the book of Hebrews, please, chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4.
The Bible talks about a rest for the people of God. Note there in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. God promises rest for the people of God. So in order to experience rest in our experience, we need to have that rest positionally in our lives, because the Bible tells us, therefore, there is a rest for the people of God. Now, how do we enter into this rest that the psalmist spoke of and calls you and I to return to? Well, look at verses 2 and 3 of Hebrews chapter 4. For it reads, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, he said. As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The key word is gospel there in verse number 2. Gospel preached. In verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. This rest of the people of God is found in the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the God of peace who will give rest to the child of God. And that rest is applied to a person's life by faith and by faith alone. But for those that don't experience that rest, it's because they haven't exercised faith. But there in verse number 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. And the belief is reference to a faith. A faith in what? Faith in the gospel. It's faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ that can lead you and I into a position of rest. A rest in our souls. And that needs to be applied personally before you and I can walk and experience that rest positionally. Pardon me, practically. It needs to be applied positionally in order for it to be a reality in a practical day by day. Faith in the gospel. Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. And on day number 3, he arose from the dead in order to reconcile sinful man to a holy God. And it is faith in the gospel that enables you and I to experience that rest in our souls. See, note then verses 4 and 5 of Hebrews 4. It reads, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. The rest here in connection to creation, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works in verse number 4, this rest speaks of completion. God has completed creation. God had completed creating the heaven and the earth in 6 literal days. And in the same way, God has completed his work of redemption in the person of Jesus Christ. And we can rest in the finished work of Christ for our salvation. When Jesus Christ cried out from the cross, it is finished, the work of salvation was complete. Salvation was provided for men, women, and children. He rested, he completed his work of redemption, just like he completed his work of creation in 6 literal days, and then he rested. It was complete. It wasn't that God was tired after 6 days of creation. No, it brought it to a completion, and therefore the seventh day was known as the day of rest. And in the same way, we can rest in the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins, Jesus Christ was buried for our sins, and Jesus Christ arose from the dead. And therefore, you and I, by faith, when we receive Jesus Christ by faith in our lives, in repentance, we can enter positionally into that rest. Not basing our means of salvation upon our own works, but rest in the fact in the finished work of God. Just like God finished His work of creation in 6 literal days, then God the Son finished His work of redemption on the cross by shedding His blood for our sins. We rest in the finished work of Christ for our salvation. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, He that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Genesis 2:1 reads, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them." And the Lord Jesus said in John 17:4, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." Jesus Christ said, "It is finished." God, upon completing His work of creation, rested. This rest of completion. In the same way, God has completed His work of redemption in the person of Jesus Christ. And it is by faith and by faith alone this rest becomes not only our personal salvation, it becomes our practical experience where we understand what it means to rest in the Lord. Note then verse 9 once again of Hebrews 4. "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." Look at verse 10. "For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." See, by faith, this rest that the Bible makes reference to, a rest for the people of God, becomes a possession in the life of the child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. But also it's by living by faith that this rest that God promises the child of God can be a reality. And when the psalmist cried out, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul," he was calling for a return to that calmness, that tranquility, that peace that he once had in his heart that is no longer there. It's by faith this rest becomes not only our personal salvation, but it can also become our practical experience. Note there the word unbelief there in verse number 11. If you go back to chapter 3, please, look at verse 12. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Note the wording there, an evil heart of what? Unbelief. God considers unbelief evil. Have you got that? That's pretty serious. That's a serious charge. Not just an unfortunate option. No, God refers to unbelief as evil in the heart. "Take heed, brethren." He's talking to Christians here. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you," you, brethren, "an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." It is an evil heart of unbelief. Listen to me. It is an evil heart of unbelief that robs you and I of that rest which is ours in Christ Jesus. It is unbelief. It is the opposite of faith that robs us of that rest. And the psalmist cried out, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul. Return unto thy rest, O my soul." It is an evil heart of unbelief that robs us of that rest which is ours in Jesus Christ. Romans 10:17 teaches us, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our faith grows through meditation and saturation of the word of God. We must anchor our lives in the word of God. This is our hope. This is where our rest comes from. It comes from God, and the basis is the eternal word of God. So, my friend, I'd like to ask you the simple question this morning. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Do you know what it means to be a child of God? Because the Bible teaches us in Hebrews 4:9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. A rest to the people of God. Is there a peace in your soul this morning? Do you know what it means to know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior? Has there been a time in your life that you've acknowledged that you need God's salvation? And before a holy God, you are unrighteous, you are sinful. But the good news is that just like God completed creation in 6 literal days, God completed His work of redemption on the cross, and He cried out, "It is finished." Redemption, sin's payment, sin's judgment has been provided and cared for in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And if a person will simply and humbly repent and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that person is born into God's family and they become a child of God. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Are you a child of God this morning? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? My friend, that's the basis of our rest. See, you can't return to something that you don't possess. It doesn't work that way. You must possess